Welcome to You, Me, and Mike. I'm Jen Todrick, otherwise known as the Rambling Redhead on Instagram and the host and designer of No De Moreno on HGTV.
And I'm Mike, and I'm also known as Mike.
And he's Mike.
Applause.
Anyone?
Applause. Okay. So if you have not listened to part one of our parenting topics, make sure that you go and listen to that because we're going to be basically extending discussion from that. What is something you took away from part one, Mike? Our discussion.
That we are figuring it out still.
Yes, that we are no experts.
Hey, love your kids, be consistent, right? I really enjoyed that last conversation. I could probably have talked another 3 hours about it. Because
well, you're about to talk another 30 minutes because we have more topics that were specifically called out from the audience on my Instagram. These are questions or these are topics inspired from those questions. So
that's awesome.
You want to jump into it?
Let's do it.
Okay, first one is, how do you teach sibling love? And I actually loved this question because this is something as an adult, as I've talked to friends, I always thought, you know, I was raised in a home where we didn't have an option. If we loved our sibling, you have to like them. They have to be your friend. They're your team. You have to treat them with respect. And even if you're very different, you are friends as long as you're under my roof. And it's funny because I always just assumed everyone kind of grew up that way. But now that I've had adults with friends, it's not. They weren't taught that. They were never told that. So how was your household growing up?
You're an adult with friends?
I am an adult with friends.
That's what you said. Adult with friends. Oh, you mean your friends are telling you this?
Yeah. Like I've had conversations with friends and they're like, no,
totally different.
We didn't grow up hearing that. Yeah. And so how did you grow up? How was that?
My sisters and I were close, just by proximity of the fact that, for a while we were. It's just us and my mom,
Mike has
right?
two older sisters.
Yeah, and so we were close, and I was really close to particularly my middle sister because she was only 3 years apart from me. And, my sisters were very motherly and caring and still to this day are very much that way, right? But so, I mean, I had a great relationship with them, and I don't, you know, there's a lot of siblings relationships that, you know, whether it's girl, boy, girl, I was very blessed that my sisters were always pretty awesome to me. And my half brothers, I have gained a great relationship later in life with, and, you know, I didn't grow up with them, but I'm stoked that I have a great relationship, but it was different because that was a different time of our life that I started developing a relationship with them.
Right.
But with, my sisters, I don't know.
But it wasn't something that was talked about.
Never.
Okay.
Like, not at all.
Maybe it was talked about at my house because we fought often. I don't know. I mean, we had a great relationship, but I was the girl with two brothers. I was constantly just trying to fit in. Like, I literally would trade baseball cards with them to be like, hey, guys, don't forget me with my Bugs Bunny binder and all the reject cards that they'd throw at me because they weren't good enough to be in their binders. I didn't know that at the time, even though I was the oldest, but that's 100% what was happening.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of times where... You know, my parents had to be like,
so what do you do? How do you show, what do you do to show our kids?
I honestly think
how to love each other.
I don't know. I liked my parents' approach of it just wasn't an option. And you just talk about it. And whenever you have fights, it's not just like you're being a jerk, you're done, you're grounded. It's kind of going into like, you have a built-in best friend. You really do. And even though they might be different, this is a life lesson. How are we good friends with people who are different? We can start that conversation right now. How do you find things? How do you get on a level with them on the same ground when you're very different people? And I think that's a common thing. I think siblings are very different.
For sure.
And they can be. Yeah. So I think it's more, honestly, a lot of, I think this one's more words. I think it's more what we talk about. Don't you think?
Wow. You're the word person now on this one?
No, you're still the word person. You're still the word. I mean, we can both talk anyone's ear off, obviously. That's why we're here. Do you disagree? What do you think?
No, I think that's a really smart way to be able to address it, but it's in certain circumstances, not like every day we're like, you're going to love your brother and sister. I think
it has to come up organically.
First and foremost, and I've said this on the last podcast, I believe it starts with how we act and how we treat each other how we treat our children.
Yeah.
They are first and foremost going to see modeling behavior from us. So the first thing it would be is if you have a poor relationship with your spouse and you guys have lots of anger and frustrations towards each other, those behaviors are going to be modeled because that's what our children see. I mean, that's not rocket science. It's just what it is, right? Yep. So our thing is intentionality and how we treat each other. The second thing is during the moments of fights or actions, like I've literally told Vaughn, I'm like, you know, your sister is your ride or die. Like she's there forever. Like this, I hope that you two develop a relationship where you're like, you take care of each other. It's like, Vaughn, you're the big brother. And like, and I do encourage him to be the big brother. Same thing with Berkeley. It's like, it's the friendship there. And the one portion that I see is like, you know, the love and the actions, the things that they have is like sometimes forcing them to play together. Like, don't give them an option.
Mike, I was just about to tell you that. I don't know how well this will go over with teenagers out there, but true. For the people who have younger kids, you know, 12, I would even say like 12 and under, there's time at night after they've had their, so we do screen time limited where we have an hour where we let them decompress. As long as they were behaved and they didn't lose their time, mm-hmm. they get an hour of decompression time where they can play games, and they always do it together. They like playing together.
Yep.
Vaughn and Berkeley, because they're, you know, a year and a half apart.
Well, they like playing. Yeah.
Right. So after dinner.
Roblox or something. Yeah.
Yes. After dinner, we sometimes, like, especially if they're fighting, I tell them they can't leave the playroom. You do. You have to sit in the playroom for an hour, find something to play with in this massive room of toys. You have 1 hour and you may not come out or you will have a consequence. And we can see them because it's connected to our kitchen. And it's crazy because they start playing and then they play for like an hour and a yes. half. And I'm telling you, if it doesn't work the first time or the second time or the third time, be consistent, give it time. And literally, if you put them in a room together,
yeah.
they will find something to do. And they are laughing and giggling. And I'm like, you know what? I hope these are the little memories that stick yeah. with them. So I hate to say it, but kids are so selfish and they can be little jerks. And we literally have to force them to do things. Right. And that is forcing them to have respect for each other.
And I would say that's one thing that as a child, I grew up in the 80s. So we didn't have instant gratification for everything. Like television, we had
right.
we had 4, 6, 8, 9, 12, and 24. That was our entire channels. 5 channels, and that wasn't on that TV. If there's something you didn't watch, there was no TV. There was no right. internet. There was nothing. And so I actually, there is some aspect of being
that's true.
Grateful as a child mm-hmm. that didn't have that, because what did you do in the summertime? My mom worked, and if my grandma lived next door, we were fortunate, but we would go and we yeah. would just find something to do. Like, there was nothing, and you would always find something to generally do together, because either if you had friends in the neighborhood, that was one thing, but if you didn't, yeah. your sibling was the person you played with. And you're those right. are the moments, again, the bonding happens when you're together.
Right. No, and you have to make that togetherness count. I was like, only 2 nights ago, remember, where I said, this makes me want to light all the electronics on fire
yes.
because they're not going to have the memories of playing an iPad together. That's not it.
I think they will.
They might, but like, are those going to be the yeah. really core good memories where they like have like a bonding moment? No, it's yeah. how they set up an entire restaurant in our playroom and wrote out sure. the menu and taped it to the thing. And Vivi was the awful server who doesn't doing anything in compliance to them, you know, like yeah. they were getting frustrated with her. But the thing is it's been magical. Even the last 3 nights, this is so relevant because they've gotten along yeah. so well, where we just look at each other and I'm like, Mike, if you say one word to them, I will end your life. Because Mike will be like, right, how are you guys doing in there? And they're like, Dad! Yeah. And then they totally jack up. So I literally have to threaten Mike's life to stop talking to them.
Bonding is just one thing. And what, Jen, I do think if the kids are going to do this, if you're going to give them, if they're playing video games and things like doing that together still matters. I have good memories as a kid. Now, that wasn't with my sisters, but it was with my buddies when Nintendo, you had to play next to each other. And there was still social interaction and bonding that was occurring with that person, because that does yeah. matter. That makes
it different.
I hate
video games.
I know, but that's just you.
No, I know.
You know, what is it? 60% of the population games, so you're in the minority.
I know, but I just don't like it. I'm like, gosh, that's like half of the attitude problems come from like when it's time
we
to turn
know.
Off oh, video oh, yeah, games.
Yeah. Well,
and so it's like in my mind, I'm like, why don't we eliminate the source? Now, I understand Mike's thing is no, he has to learn how to gain control of that, or, mm-hmm. you know, she or... I'm totally exposing who I'm talking about, but
it's both. Yeah. I mean, it's every child. It's I remember as a kid, my mom would go and just turn the Nintendo off or the TV.
That's
off.
That's what I would do.
And my head would
savage
explode.
Style.
I remember being like, and I'm sure there's parents out there. As the kids get older and there's like 12, 13 time for bed. And my mom would warn me, and eventually she would just turn the TV off, and it was the day that you had to get the codes, and you would invest like an hour and a half of time on something. And if you didn't write down the 78-letter code perfect, you couldn't continue the game. So it really, really had material
strange.
Impact.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in counseling for a couple times. Since,
whatever.
Like, the struggles that I've dealt with from the moments.
Poor Sue.
Moms. I'm just kidding.
So that all, yeah, I would say that's all for sibling yeah. love. We've covered that all. Yeah. Another question is.
I will see, and I mean, you talked to us about the story last time, what your dad did about like, having each other's backs.
Yeah.
That is awesome. And I look, there's a point of one child being the tattletale, and then there were not, because I'm sure there's other parents that empathize with that, or you experience this right now where one child likes to tell on the other one, and we have that happen in our house all the time as well.
Yeah.
And there's a certain point where...
It's great, actually. It's a great source of information.
But it is, but at the same time, you'd be like, you know, like if it's not harmful, you got to stop tattling. Like I've said, like, stop.
Stop tattling. I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it. Stop tattling.
You do.
So because otherwise it's I don't know if it's a position of, I don't know why kids do that.
And you know what it takes?
I'm a tell.
I really do. And I really do feel like it takes, I don't want to say a solid marriage, because we all go through rough spots where we would be like, okay, we're not exactly solid right now. But you know what I'm saying? It takes a marriage where two people are respecting each other and loving each other, because then you demand that of your kids with relationships. Think about if the mom, the dad, whoever, are fighting, and that's what the kids see. And then you turn around and be like, you have to love him. He's your, they're going to be like, what? Like, that's not how you act. And so it really does put a microscope on us. Again, there is something to be said about faking it till we make it when our kids are watching us.
That's right.
And that's not wrong. I think that's instilling confidence. That's instilling, again, we're not making them believe the world is butterflies and rainbows. That's unhealthy, but they don't need to know that, you know, Mike wanted to get some last night, and I said no because I was too tired, and we tiffed over it. They don't need to know that, you know? They don't need to know why.
I sure hope not.
It's too deep, you know? And so we're not going to bring that in front of them the next day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think that's it, too.
All right. Here's a good question, Jen.
Okay.
Because this is relevant.
Okay.
There's so many ways to define this.
Yeah.
How do you talk about the hard things in life?
Ooh, this is a hot topic button, I think, for society right now. I'm like scared to answer it.
It's a lot of navigation. I mean, look, you can even just go back to the birds and the bees, or you can talk about, you know.
No, I think my answer is very simple, and it's just because society is telling you that your kids need to be educated on something, they don't. It's up to you as the parent. You have to decide when the child's ready to hear about that topic. Just because someone else is talking about something to their kid, you don't have to. Know your child. Know when it's an appropriate time. And some kids don't need to know everything whenever someone else does. If you have a very sensitive child, they don't need to know everything until they're ready to handle it.
And I think that's the key thing is when they're ready.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, though. If on hard subjects, if you don't talk to them, somebody else will, though.
Yes.
And that's the thing is about navigating. Like, do you want to be first, or do you want to be fixing bad information?
But you have to, you can't shoot the gun off too early. That's my issue.
That's a hard thing.
Like,
it's
when, right? When do you tell them?
I will say this. Okay. So recent one. My children didn't know I had a prior marriage and we were like, when?
It's actually a really funny story.
So I didn't, we didn't, you know, like it was never something that just came up naturally. We didn't have children, you know, it's that part of my life is completely past.
I was also like a middle school, high schooler.
And there's no,
when that happened,
there's no connection to that past life anymore. So it was one of the ones where it just wasn't necessarily a relevant conversation, never came up organically. And if people are in second marriages with their kids, obviously that's just part of your life. It's, you just grow up knowing, like, look, you know, my parents divorced. They went through a divorce. It was part of my life. Mm-hmm. But so Vaughn was on Ancestry and he was looking up and he, and he found my ex's wife name on there, and I was like, okay. And then
they're like, oh man, they screwed this up big time.
Yeah, and I was like,
look at the date of the marriage.
Yeah, and I was like, well, and I said, I looked at Jen. I'm like, well, guys, I'm gonna tell you something. I was actually married prior, and you know, it was a different time in my life.
We were
and,
sitting at the playroom you know, table. Mike I, was sitting know, at a little toddler
did,
chair.
Did like a little brief thing, and they both looked at me like, okay, and they went on to their.
We looked at each other and we've been talking about this for 10 years about when this moment, this big moment was going to take place and how it was going to happen, our approach, what we were going to say, what we weren't going to say. Guys, we've been practicing this for 10 years and our kids were like, all right, done.
And there'll be a time that they're going to ask more questions. And I think there's lessons I've learned to that. Look, I mean, we can talk about on the marriage thing is that I know my past life to this life, like there's things I've grown and learned and hope that I can help give some wisdom and navigate beyond the mistakes that I made in my past.
Right? I think you're very different.
Oh, for sure.
A person.
To an extent. I mean, probably as weird as always, but yeah, I mean, they're like, look, that's going to be things that are going to come up at a different time and place. Right. But for what that being said, you know, the other one out, you know, the birds and the bees conversation kind of briefly came up with Vaughn recently. And my conversation with him is at night. It's when all the questions come up, like the why,
of course, when they're supposed to go to bed.
So
shocking.
But my question was, you know, here's how I looked at it. Vaughn is a left brain kid. He knows every fact. In fact, he's been reading anatomy books since he's been about 5 years old. So there's
honey,
things.
No, no, no.
three to four years old. Yeah. So I just, you know, he was asking about, you know, where babies came from. And when I said, okay, Vaughn, let's talk about the book. And it was, I just made it a very clinical thing. Now, we didn't necessarily talk about the act of it, right? It wasn't an act
relations.
Of
relations. Yeah.
Active relations, but it was about, okay, there's an egg and there's a sperm. Yeah. And he was like, huh. All right. That makes sense. Right? Like, he's like, okay. Oh yeah. That makes total sense. Okay. So women have eggs in their body. Yeah, that's in the ovaries. I'm like, yep. And he's like, did you know, Dad, that they're born with all the eggs that they're ever going to have in their life?
I don't even know if I knew that.
Yeah, he did. He's like,
what?
You don't create new eggs.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
So, and I was like, oh, okay. And so, but connecting it together and just creating a standpoint of like,
I did not know that. Yeah, I'm like sitting over here processing that. Where do they get the eggs get stored the whole time?
I don't know.
Do we just have a big sack of eggs?
I guess so.
As egg a baby? Sack.
I don't know, actually. I really don't know that question.
I'm going to ask Vaughn when he gets home from school. That's the strangest thing.
And if this is wrong, I'm going to redact it later. So it was came from my...
my mom's a nurse. She's like behind. She's listening like, no.
Came from my 9-year-old.
No, this is not true.
So when it came to that, it was about understanding the kid. Now, we haven't had the conversation, but to Jen's point, and I've been talking a lot this one, my view again is this, we have to have the conversation as parents.
First, I agree with that.
Yeah, don't rely on other people.
I do, but don't jump the gun so early just to be the first. It's a game of really like, it's like a poker game. Yeah. It's knowing when to play, at what time, taking a risk, and when that is.
And wherever you stance, look, like the reality is that we all have to navigate this thing. And the one thing that we come together is the common core belief that we want to provide and do the best for our children. I don't think there's a single parent out there, whatever you send on a social structure, you want the best for your children.
Obviously, there's a lot of different people and a lot of different hot buttons. And there's so many hot topics in society right now. And we all have different beliefs. And that's what makes life beautiful. That's great that we all have different beliefs. We would never want a whole world of everyone thinking the same. That's creepy, right? And it makes us better as people to understand others. But again, a child isn't an adult. No, so I would strongly encourage anyone to just not feel pressure of society to tackle all the things, or you're a bad parent because your kids are ignorant and they don't understand or know their kids. And I know that I will tick some people off by saying that, but there is a time and a place, and just be smart about that,
because kids.
They can't process everything. They can't. And so are we actually doing harm by telling them things a little too early? And then they don't understand it, and they can't. And then they now are thinking things that are totally untrue, maybe even negative. I'm just saying, in defense of people who are holding things close to their chests until their kids are ready, good for you. And I applaud you.
I agree.
Because it's hard in society right now when social media and everyone's screaming at you to educate your kids and make them. We do. That's our job, is to educate our kids, but it's also how to do it smart and effectively.
Which to me is the biggest thing, is let the parents be parents. And that goes across from anything. Parents, it's our responsibility.
And it's our choice of how we do it. And it's your choice on how you do it too. And so I applaud you for being strong and how you feel. And you know your kid. No one knows your kid like you do. If any of you are in the market for a new zit patch, I have been using Hero Cosmetics Mighty Patch for well over a year, and it is, dare I say, life-changing. It's pretty dang cool, because if you're someone like me who likes instant gratification, this patch is also for you. It is a hydrocolloid patch. So what that means is that it's a medical grade gel that gently absorbs and traps all the gunk. For me, the biggest noticeable difference is after one night of sleeping in that patch, you wake up in the morning and your zit is much flatter and less inflamed. So you can go about your day, put some makeup on, and it's barely even there. Barely noticeable. I'm telling you, especially if they're big whiteheads. I've also used it on cystic acne, and it works with that as well. They are giving you guys 20% off. So if you visit herocosmetics.com and use code REDHEAD, you'll get 20% off site-wide, excluding bundles. And this is for new and existing customers. So even if you bought with them before, you can still use this code REDHEAD to get your 20% off today. Again, that is herocosmetics.com, code REDHEAD. I promise you, you will not regret trying these zit patches. Go for the 72 count, I swear, especially if your husband likes them, because Mike steals mine constantly and they go really fast. This is another audience question. I thought it was a good one that I've never thought about. What do you hope your kids learn from you? So what do we hope that our kids learn from us?
How to be better than us.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I mean, I'm being serious.
I know. It's like doing things that we're not good at. I would say I'm going to separate it between, well, no, I'm not, because this is something that's obviously not gender specific. Confidence is a huge, huge, huge thing for me, and I've always said that. I consider myself a very confident person. And I feel like that while some of that is genetic, a lot of that's like environmental and how you were raised and, you know, parents filling your cup and not having a pedestal complex where you're not, where you're perfect and you never mess up. That's unhealthy. But just instilling why you're so amazing and why God made you amazing.
Yep.
And I think that's important for all the kids, but especially in this day and age, I want to pour that into my daughters. And I hope that they come out with confidence, like I feel, because I really do feel like while I have weaknesses in other places, as we all do, I feel like having a strong confidence level is like armor. It's like a superpower these days.
Yeah.
And you wear it and it's letting things ricochet off of you and truly not shaking how you feel about yourself or mm-hmm. what you are capable of. And I feel like it maintains better relationships as far as marriage when your confidence is instilled. There's less fights there because you're confident in who you are yep. and your friendships. But also, again, passing down confidence to your kids, especially young girls, they need that these days. They need it more than ever. Society tells us we are not pretty enough. We're not skinny enough. We're not talented enough. We're not successful enough. We're not making enough money, anything. And so women, it's just, and men, I'm not trying to make this a sexist thing. Men have their issues too, but I only have this perspective of a woman. And it feels like women are constantly under attack as far as making themselves feel less than, and it's scary and it's sad.
What do I tell Berkeley and Vivian every night?
How did God make you?
From your head to your toes and everything in between. Every single night.
Yes.
Because
you're perfect the way you are.
God made you exactly how you're supposed to be.
And you know, that sentence may seem silly and fleeting, especially when you say, I'm a big believer. And like, if you say it all the time, it like what I said in a past episode, it seems hollow, but you know what? We're going to keep saying that because it's something that they hear. And then we also need to have more conversations outside right. of that. It's not just this one blanket band-aid that we put on every night when they go to bed. It's cute and cheeky. It's now the conversations from day to day, constantly asking them, what do you like about yourself? Yep. What'd you do today that was like, that you were like, holy crap, I did that. I'm impressed. Asking questions like that. Like, have you ever asked your kid, hey, what'd you do today that was really cool?
Right.
And your kid kind of has to think about it for a second, but all that's doing is building that confidence and it's allowing something that you didn't know happened. So you'd never be able to give praise. I did this to Berkeley the other day and she told me about picking up a pencil or something. There's like a, she was class picker upper or whatever. And I was like, Berkeley, way to go. That's so cool. Good for you. And that's, if I wouldn't have asked that question, I would never have known. I wouldn't be able to give her that praise, right. that little praise ticket. What about you?
I mean, it's going to be from perspective again, right? So for me, the biggest thing that I want my kids to learn, and it goes as this, I want them and I pray for them to become functional, competent, loving, caring Christian people that bring joy to this world. And to Amen. Be, and to be, a, you know, to be, adults, it doesn't matter how successful they are in life from a standpoint of like monetary success. That really doesn't matter to me. It's about what kind of adult they become right. and how, what kind of, you know, person they are and how they
impact,
treat
how do they impact yeah. other
can
people?
Can you make a difference in this world? Can you love on others? Can you be caring to others? I'm going to say the term and standpoint is like our viewpoint and perspective is like from a Christian standpoint. And I look at it as like, how can you really truly love people without, you know, showing up like a sane amount of judgment to others, right? That's what I want my children to have. And for my son specifically, I want him to be a real man of God yeah. that can, you know, treat his wife or others in his life with kindness and respect and confidence. And it's a tough thing. And you said from a women's perspective, Jen, it's not the easiest time and a place to be a male either.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, no, I think society's hard on everyone right
now.
So
you can point fingers and say, this is wrong. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, look, we are made, you know, for a purpose. I believe that wholeheartedly. Right. The crazy thing is like, this is about parenting. You were made to be your children's parents. You were intended to be your parents, right? So there's a purpose behind why us as their parents. So like growing them into the children they want, but yeah, into our daughters, instilling confidence and, you know, having ability for them to fail, but not fail to the point where you're creating mistakes where they're not going to recover. So again, healthy consequences and letting them become functional, amazing human beings that treat others with respect and kindness.
Wish this actually leads into, I'm now in my little question box on my Instagram
stories.
Are you
just going to do some rapid fires?
I'm going to do rapid fires. We haven't done this. I'm totally rapid firing what I see. So I asked you guys if you have any questions specifically about parenting on Instagram, and this is what I'm getting. Someone said, I've heard disciplining lowers self-confidence. What are your thoughts? I actually would say the opposite, because while in the moment they're learning a tough lesson and they probably don't feel the best about themselves, you now get to praise them whenever they correct that or whenever they come up from that and they did that by themselves.
Agreed.
So I think that's something that you need to point out. Again, it has to do with presentation. If you're not giving enough words as to telling them why they're so great for correcting, then they're never going to know. So it takes those, you know, 1 minute of saying, holy moly, Vaughn, that's amazing. Do you see what you just did there? That's what we were talking about. And I didn't even tell you. Good job. Yeah. Like, that's very mature. And like giving that little nugget and then moving on.
Yeah. And if you don't discipline, how do you grow, right? Like,
correct.
If you don't have failures or consequences in life, there's really no...
Life is going to be so hard for you. It's going to suck.
Well, it's going to be entitlement too, right? Yeah. I think if you shelter and over entitle your children, they become kind of ugly humans. And it's sad. And I don't think there's, people want to act that way, but there is a tremendous amount of entitlement in this world. And I really don't want our children to ever grow up in that situation. So it does take natural consequences and sometimes direct consequences that are given from the behavior. And at the same time, sometimes natural consequences take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. You didn't turn in your homework. Oh, you got a D or an F. I will never be the parent that goes and complains to the parent or to the teacher.
I would definitely want to talk to them and be like, okay. Cause remember one time in fourth grade, I kept getting zeros on my papers. Yeah. And I told my mom, I'm turning in my work. And it took like the fifth zero. My mom went and talked to the teacher and it was very sad. She was going through some heavy personal stuff and she was losing my papers. Yep. So we switched.
But that's a different circumstance. Yeah. But if your child,
Talk to the teacher.
If your child's like, I just don't feel like doing this paper or whatever, like natural consequence thing. And I know people are worried about what kind of like, if my child doesn't get straight A's or they don't get this B, they're not getting into this college. And you know, look, I have multiple degrees and there's a whole other thing I can talk about. Like, is every child built to go to college? Mm-hmm. And I would highly say no to that. I would say, but every child and every person has real skill sets that you can foster and grow. So yeah, you got to discipline if you berate your child and you belittle them in discipline, that's where they're going to lose confidence.
Mm. Next question. How do people do bedtime with multiple kids? Oh, we got a system.
We do have a system.
Viv goes down first, then Berkeley, then Vaughn. And so we are
age order.
Pretty much passing each other in the hallway. Sometimes Mike and I are in the room at the same time. And then other times, like he's saying goodnight to Vaughn. I'm saying goodnight to Berkeley. We have like our alone one-on-one time. And then it's usually me berating Mike to get out of the rooms because he's talking too much.
Here's one thing I'll say about Jen. She is incredibly disciplined in her own mechanisms of how she was going to do sleep time with the children. And I will say it's the best. And I am grateful for it because
as far as like our kids go to bed and stay in bed.
It's structure. We have a lot of structure through bedtime. There's not a lot of arguments about going to bed. There really isn't. Our kids are
allowed.
They're pretty.
You're going to bed. I'm so sorry you feel that way.
But again, it's a lot. We're tag team. Vivi first, Jen, whether it's me or her, usually Jen puts Vivi in, then she starts going with the kids. I say goodnight to Vivian. I tag out. I help and do the routines, and then we're one's in Vaughn's, one's in Viv. We flip flop, and then we maybe pray together, and we call it good. But we do spend time with them, and yes, I do like to talk at night.
Bedtime.
And to a dad's defense, that is often our time that our children open up the most to
us. Right, but started earlier. That's all I'm saying. It's a very easy fix.
But they're so sweet.
Someone said, "How do you make kids stay in bed?" I have an approach for this, and some people might not agree with it, but I just start scary from night one. I give them no option to stay in their bed or they will have bad consequences. Yeah. And so it works. All three of my, even the strong-willed ones, I don't play around. We do not play. And obviously if like you're throwing up, that's different, but just to get out to like say I actually had a question for you. I don't play. I'm scary. You stay in bed, and that is for the wellness of everyone, which is they need to get sleep. It is school the next day. And so because of that, they stay in bed.
Our older ones get reading time after we say goodnight to them. We let them do some independence and often my son or daughter will come and ask me to tuck them in again. I do that. But it's not a long one. It's quick tuck in and they're good with it. So,
but also those reading times, see, here's the thing. Everything is like a wager. Everything is worth something. So if we're not getting up good at school and we have bad attitudes, that stinks. We're not going to be able to read tonight because you were in a really bad attitude this morning. That means you're tired. Mm-hmm. So those things get taken away. So we have these privileges that you get for being older, which is you can read and I trust you to turn the light off at 8:30. But just know if you stay up later or if you have a really poopy attitude in the morning, you don't get to do that the next day. And every day it does take more patience as a parent of like keeping up with that. But I promise you, once you get in the routine of it, it's easy.
They're really good.
There's no chart.
I mean, honestly, even Vivian now with wake up time, she's got one of those clocks that turn green and she waits until it's green to come out. Like
people have asked, how do you train that? It's a beating, especially with a strong-willed child. Trust me, I've been there. But if that child gets out of bed before her light is green, whatever you set it, I walk them back to bed and I put them back in their bed. And the first few times I laid in the bed with them until their light turned green and I acted like I was sleeping. Now, once they get the hang of it, if it's still happening, you put them in bed. They are not allowed out of their bed until that light turns green. And what we do that for is maybe safety reasons, right? Like what time is an okay time for her to get out of her bed? Also, she's not getting up at 3 and 4 in the morning. If she wakes up, I've seen her in the baby monitor, look at the light, it's red. She goes back to sleep. So it's creating those healthy patterns of understanding this is night time. Yep. I need my sleep.
And there's probably some people from a perspective asking this question that are dealing with younger kids, like the ones that are still crying at night, like newborns and things.
I'm not talking about
and that's
that.
A different circumstance. And, you know, Jen and I are standards on this one was crying was okay as long as it wasn't pain crying.
Of course.
That was...
I'll cry it out, which is a horrible topic now. Everyone would be on the defense of that or attack us for that. But I, with my kids, I knew that sometimes if they cried for 10 minutes or less, they go to bed. They're just ticked. They're strong-willed, even as babies. And once you do that, like a few times, they just stop. Like they just go to bed. It's another learned behavior. Yeah. But that's, you know, soothing, that's our opinion.
It also teaches self-soothing.
How they can
like
soothe themselves. Yeah. How do you convince your kids to wear cute clothes? That's funny. Vaughn doesn't care. Vaughn doesn't care at all.
Nope. He likes comfortable now, though. If it was up to him, it'd be like gym shorts and a t-shirt. But he still, whatever gym puts out, he's like, all right.
Berkeley has always been okay. She just doesn't like pink. So I meet her in the middle and I don't buy her pink clothes.
True. She hates pink.
Vivi is going to be my one that I fight about clothes in the morning. I already know it. She's going to be, don't you think, super headstrong and she's going to wear what she wants to wear.
She's already that way.
She's three. So she's going to be the one where I get it back. Yeah.
So when I took him to church on Sunday, Jen was at her parents' house for wedding baby shower, but I took the kids to church. Vivi dressed herself. I think she did a good job.
Vivi?
Yeah.
Oh, she actually looked really cute. Like her little Edna outfit where she had the pearls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wore pearls.
Yeah. It's really, really cute. We'll do one more. Let me see. Dun, dun, dun.
But you also have good styles. So that's part of it, Jen.
Thank you. Yeah.
Maybe they see it from you and they model that behavior.
How will you teach body positivity or more importantly, that we are more than our body? I think that's a great one, question. Especially raising girls.
Great question.
I think it's important that... our kids see different body types. And I feel like there's a balance between teaching them how to have healthy eating habits, because I was raised with healthy eating habits and I felt like I was educated in that. So even whenever I popped open a Chef Boyardee in college, I knew that I was making a really bad mistake and that was full of chemicals and dye and gross. But, you know, I also know that my parents taught me it's okay to eat things like that from time to time. But, I think it's teaching them like nutrition as we're cooking or as we're eating, even over dinner, even if it's boring and they're not even paying attention. They are. They hear you. I promise. They hear you. Say what carrots do. Oh, it's great for your eyes. It has great. Don't carrots have fiber?
They do.
Yeah. See fiber.
All vegetables have fiber.
See, sometimes I don't say the right things, but at least you're trying as a parent. Just talk. Just let them hear the information because you're guiding them to a healthier lifestyle. But also teaching them that just because someone's body, you know, is larger doesn't mean that the person eats all the time. And there's Hashimoto's, even like with something that I have, people with Hashimoto's tend to have weight issues and it sucks. Like things are not always as they seem. So I think it's more of a balance of, you know, making healthy choices for our bodies as we can, but also, you know, just guiding conversation as they come into play. Berkeley's asked me in the past why her stomach isn't like mine, flat. And so Berkeley and I have different body types. Yep. Me and my mom have different body types. And so we're really kind of on our own as how to navigate those conversations.
My biggest thing on this is teaching your children healthy habits, right? Yeah. And that's the only thing from a standpoint of body positivity. I'm all for, like, look, love everyone for what they are. Like we're way more than the external side of our lives. Yeah. That's where saying that statement to Berkeley, God made you exactly how you're supposed to be, but we can still make positive choices. And, you know, Jen and I do eat healthy and I am a pretty active, workout quite a bit, but I grew up in a very different circumstance where my family, my mom, I love her to death, but she cooked at home, but she also is a very active mom, she was a very busy person, right? Mm-hmm. So if I wanted a peanut butter jelly sandwich at 10 o'clock at night in bed, I got a peanut butter jelly sandwich at 10 o'clock at night. So I struggled with weight all the way up until probably high school, where I weighed more in eighth grade than I did in ninth grade. Okay. I weighed 20 pounds more and then I grew about 4 inches between the 2 years. And I struggled with that. And I still, everyone still has that when you're a young kid going through middle school, you struggle with those things sometimes about your body image, with yourself and want to be the best. But as I tell my children, we just don't talk about our bodies, right?
Yes.
And it's not like, oh, you should be doing this or that. Just model positive behavior and emphasize health.
Yes. And I think it's important not to be like, well, we do this so we stay skinny.
Yeah. No.
We don't talk like that. Yeah. We talk about what it does for our actual bodies and we leave the weight portion out.
And
it
just because somebody is larger doesn't mean they're unhealthy.
Exactly.
We are doing this. I'm doing this. I always tell them I'm working out because, guys, I want to live to be 100 if I can.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's the thing, is it's not I'm working out because I want to have a six. Maybe nice if I did. I'm not going to say it wouldn't be okay with that. Of course I do. But my body isn't built that way. My metabolism isn't the same as Jen's. So for a standpoint, probably not making too big of a deal of it. And at the same time, telling loving people regardless, and also not making comments about other people,
which
in
is
front
hard.
Of your kids.
Which is, yes. Oh, that's right? You. That's not hard. Yes. Us as adults, we 100% do not do that.
No.
I thought you were going to say kids not making comments about other people's bodies. That's going to happen. They're kids.
Right. No,
kids
us.
Are, yes. Kids are Captain Obviouses. That's what they are. They're going to say what they feel. We're kind of, Vaughn and Berkeley aren't like that anymore or as much. Vivian is now starting to recognize people's bodies.
Yeah.
The other day she came in and she was like, we saw a lady in the store. She was real big. She had a big belly. Well, she was pregnant. So I had to like get that out of her and she was expecting a baby, but she's starting to realize like people's body shapes.
Yep.
So basically I think it's just teaching your kids, of course, like healthy eating habits, which is kind of separate, but also how do they see people for not just how they obviously are? Do you know what I'm saying? Where that shouldn't even have an impact. That shouldn't come up in conversation. Yeah.
Looks should have no impact on who that person is to
we
them.
We don't talk about that.
Again, focus on what we can control, and that's ourselves. And that's the same thing about creating moderation and balance and healthy lifestyles for our children. That's the one thing we try to model for them. And same time, it's just be good, be kind to each other. Mm-hmm. Right?
And be kind when you're talking about others.
Absolutely.
I think that's really important because that's a modeling behavior without even knowing it.
For sure.
Yes. Okay. Let's do, I think it's that time. It's the time
Can I bring it out?
Yes.
Can I bring it out of the box?
Go.
No. Jar of weird questions.
Nope. I didn't say you could bring that out
of the
box.
I
thought you meant the question, Mike. Do it again. Jar of weird questions. Thank you very much. Again, these are questions that weird questions you guys submit, and they go into this jar and we answer them at the end of each episode.
It's a special yellow one too.
Here we go. You can only eat one food for the rest of your life. What is it?
Oh.
Oh, how about we guess each other's? I'm going to guess yours.
Okay.
Yours is either pizza or a hamburger. Very basic.
Yeah.
What would you pick? I would thought pizza.
You know, the problem with pizza is if it was
it's going to be this long, in-depth conversation.
Pizza is an incredible culinary divine creation, in my opinion. It is wonderful. The downside to pizza is that if you do have pizza multiple days in a row, eventually it's like, pizza. You kind of gets gross.
It's all going to get that way because you're only eating that for the rest of your life. So what would you pick?
Do I want to be the wise person and say, okay, but one food? Literally only one.
Only
you'll
one
die.
Food.
You won't have enough nutrients. So
Mike,
it's not even
answer
your life's,
the question,
your life's
Mike.
Gonna be short.
Answer the question.
Yeah, look, if you can only eat one thing and your life's gonna be short, of course it's gonna be a hamburger. Because even if you eat salmon every single day, you don't have enough vitamins or nutrients.
What I think I would do is I think I would do a chef's salad if we're talking about nutrients.
Lots of
vegetables chopped up on the salad.
Dang it.
Ham, turkey, a little bit of cheese, boiled egg, and some croutons.
That wasn't.
I totally beat you.
That was
in that question.
You just hacked that question. You read that before because
I didn't.
That was a genius answer.
Thank you. Well, no, I wouldn't have said that, but since you said what about the nutrients, it guided me.
Yeah, that was a genius answer.
Thank you.
But if it was not related to health, it would be some sort of Asian food, most likely Pekki Mao or soba noodles or something.
Same. Mine would be Thai as well.
Yours. Well, yours would be.
Yeah. All right, well, that was fun. I'm glad that I totally beat you in that question, even though it wasn't a competition, but now it is, and I won.
I don't know why it was a competition, but I'll succeed at that point and say, yes, you did win that question. Because that was a question hack. Dang, dude.
Thank y'all so much for listening to this episode about parenting. I feel like we could do 3 more episodes just on parenting. We might later on in the season.
I found something again. Okay. I found these on your desk the other day. I did another podcast. You have these prayer cards, which I think are pretty awesome. Check this one out.
Okay.
I think it's relevant to this.
Okay.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Esther 4:14.
Like parenting.
Right.
I love
you were
that.
Born to be your parents this time. Like
you were made to be a parent. Yeah. You have a really heavy responsibility.
And
do it right.
And this time right now, though, is look, there's a bunch of crud out there, right? We can hear negativity, but man, there's so many good things in this world.
100%. I agree with
and
that.
Be the best parent you can be.
I agree.
And we're going to make
inspirational
mistakes.
Cards by Mike. That's what's coming up next. I love
these. These actually are
he
so good.
He loves inspirational cards. I'm like, yeah, that's good.
Fun fact, I'd be a sign writer or a greeting card writer.
We talk about this all the time.
Or
he wants to make
actor.
Signs in Hobby Lobby. He wants to have his own inspirational sign design. Thank y'all so much for listening to today's episode. Next week, we are going to have maybe the most anticipated episode, at least from my question box of things you guys want to hear, which is marriage, all things marriage and having healthy communication.
Yes.
Again, we are not experts on any of this, but we are going to tell you what we blow up on, what we fight about, how we get through it, and maybe it's something that you haven't tried.
It's going to be a good one. People were asking a lot about
Mike and I might fight after it. It'll be great.
People were asking for tap dance lessons, Jens. I know it's going to be hard to do.
Dance lessons?
Yeah, that was a wildly
if
requested
only
subject.
I could teach that via podcast.
I know. It'd be something. It'd be something.
I would be the only one ever to do that because it's not possible.
Maybe start another podcast.
Tap only for tap dancing.
Tapping by Todrick.
Todrick taps. Pretty good. 3 and Mike is a production of The Rambling Redhead from 13 Media.
Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are available. And while you're at it, leave us a 5-star rating while you're there.
Have an idea for a topic you'd like us to discuss? Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or send us a message on Instagram. We would love to share your idea on the show. For a daily dose of our crazy lives, follow us on Instagram at The Rambling Redhead and at Mike Todrick. And catch No De Moreno on HGTV. Make sure to come back on Monday for a new Monday Funday bonus episode.
We're going to be doing some wild
poo-poo pants.